Thank you. Today is a special Sunday. And, when Christina and I, when the Lord called us from Texas to come here, we felt like, you know, we had certain things that he called us to be and do here. And one of those huge things is to host heaven, to host his presence. And all that mandate that he's called us to isn't meant for just this area. But I remember the time early in the 2000s when as a leadership team we were praying and the Lord said, you need to not just send money to Guatemala, you need to build a bridge. And like you have to go there and you actually have to have a relationship with people. Not the R word. And so that started many trips that we've sowed in. It's more than the money. And Steve and Becky have become very dear to this house and dear to me as friends and partners in Guatemala City. I remember Hank went down with a team of youth, and Steve has had this ministry in an area where there were started out as a squatter area, so it was a very poor area. And there was this widow about this tall that had a daughter, and her house was, you know how third world countries, their homes are just, they're living in dirt, and there's disease there. Well, Hank had this idea of doing this double-pitched roof with all this lumber and with like about a three-foot cement block wall around the edge on this beautiful foundation. And when we got it with a metal roof, when it was done, it looked like a fortress in the middle of this horrible area. And all the neighbors, though, gathered around to hear us share about Jesus. You know, all these kids have been bringing in all this stuff, you know, the materials. And that girl graduated from high school recently, her, that little lady's daughter. Of course, her daughter's taller than her. Anyway, it's just one of the stories that through Steve and Becky, we were able to touch real lives. And that you could multiply that by a dozen anyway. And so we want to hear Steve and his heart. He has this culture that we enjoy, he has birthed that in the base there. So like when I go back, when I first started going back, it was really different. But now it would be like going home. You know what I mean? Everything that we do here, they're just like doing there. And especially where the base is, man, you got to have an anointing to stay there because the Mayan worship is just a couple of blocks away in a park. They're offering up chickens and all this stuff. So, but greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. So anyway, we want to hear Stephen. They've been through a journey and a transition. We'd like to hear their hearts. So could you greet Steve Gola?
Well, good morning. How are you guys? Well, I send greetings from Becky. Becky wants to be here this afternoon or this morning with you guys. But like I said, we have kids and they're in school. And so they sent me. But I just send you greetings and blessings from Guatemala. It is so good to be here with you guys, honestly. This is, again, like Ken mentioned, this is family. This is extended family right here. You know, we're there, but at the same point, we feel your presence. We feel your prayers, and it's very, very, I would say, very pivotal for us each day as we get up to do what we do, knowing that we have people here at Grace praying for us and lifting us up. You have no idea. As Ken mentioned, literally at one block and a half away from our home is a Mayan ritual ground. And they practice the Mayan religion there. And what they'll do is they'll draw up these little circles on with rock. And they'll be out literally cutting chickens up and worshiping Mayan gods right there in that location where we're at. And I remember when we first moved into the property, Ken was one of the first speakers at that time. And I just remember he had his vigil. He was just praying and praying and praying in that house because of the fact of just the spiritual climate that we're dealing with. And I know you guys have been doing that even here recently, going out and praying in this area and just changing the climate, because that's what we do. We bring Jesus' presence into the area and we change climates. That's his desire. And so we're Jesus. We're Jesus in wherever we go. And so it was such a privilege to have this relationship that we've had with Grace over the years. It's not just even with Ken or with Phil. It's the idea that's gone back, you know, to some years ago when we were with Joe Ferrante, back to Dick Williams, back to, I can keep going, okay? But it was that idea that missions has always been in the heart of Grace Fellowship. It's never left. It's never suddenly appeared. It's always been here. You guys have always been with us. Grace has always been with us. This is our family. This is where we are. And so today I get the privilege, and it's what it is, just to share a little bit with you guys what's happening there. Now, today's kind of message and what I'll be doing and sharing about them all is going to tie together. Are you guys okay with that? You know, sometimes like you get this message, like the guy gets done speaking about Guatemala, and then now we got to settle in for the message, okay? Well, the message is in what's been happening in Guatemala, because it's been through all that's been taking place that God's begun to birth something deeper in my family, something that God has been working very, very vigilantly over the last couple of years. And again, just so you guys know, when we came here this summer, we were tired. You know, when you get out there and you're working and you're out there, and sometimes you lose focus, you lose where you're at, and you need this time where you just get away and just recalibrate. I don't know if you guys have experienced that before. You get like so entrenched in what you're doing in your life, and you just go, stop! Stop it, okay? And you just put the brakes on. And then you go, okay, God, what am I missing here? What's happening? And God just kind of just comes in his sweet spirit and just begins to show you. And it doesn't come automatic. You notice that, guys? It never just comes and it's there. It just kind of slowly, oh, missed that one. Missed that one too. Oh, God, now I got it. Oh, okay, that makes sense now. And so we just had the wonderful privilege of being here with you guys, being in Sonoma County, and just being. Okay? No work, nothing entitled behind it. Just being, okay? Being in his presence. And it was so refreshing, so renewing. We left and went back to Guatemala and just continued in that attitude and continued in that direction for ourselves. And one of the wonderful things that God has been doing for us is preparing a place for us to stay. And for us, we've been walking through a period of time where literally taking my kids to school became a huge chore. It was 2 hours in the morning and 2 hours at night. That's what it came down to. Picking them up from school and bringing them back was a two-hour chore. And that's simply because of the traffic and where we are in the city and where it's located. So God began to prepare a special place for us, literally 5 minutes away from our destination where the kids needed to go to school. It was that close. Boom. And so it was even funny as we began to move into the house. Immediately, as we're packing up my car and putting stuff in, we have this line of people who are like coming up going, are you renting your house here? Are you renting your house here? And literally within the time period that we had moved our stuff over, we had a renter that came into our home almost immediately to help us take care of the housing costs that we have for the other location we're at. God is good. God is like always on time. And so for us, as we moved into this new home and the new things that are taking place within our family, the house is beautiful. It's a great location for us, and God gave it to us through a missionary friend. And it's been a blessing for us to have the home. And from that location, now Becky and I are recalibrating even more so what God has been doing in our lives. You see, the thing is with God is that when he takes you this journey, he begins to show you step by step what's beginning to take place in your life. And so for us, over this last year, we've seen this journey, and we've seen this time of rest as so beneficial for us to be in his presence. See, sometimes we forget it's not about the work that we do, you understand? It's about who we are in God's presence. And so for me, when you start really processing a lot of that, when you put those brakes on you and you feel that whole thing taking place, you go, okay, God, now I'm getting it. I'm understanding. Please, Lord, help me not to return back to what I just left. And so this morning, if I want to encourage you guys in a couple of ways, you're going to hear that, like I said, through this message that I'm sharing, little encouragement, little bits and pieces of what's going on, okay? But what's really been interesting, in that time period that the Lord was meeting with us, he began to speak even more powerfully about a particular passage of Scripture that I've been processing a lot over the last 2 years. Now, I'd like to read it to you guys, and it's a real simple one. You guys ready? It's in Matthew. It's chapter 18. Okay, let's go there. Chapter 28, not 18. Can we go there? Matthew 28. And I'm going to go through that part of the passage where at the end of the chapter, something happening. It says in verse 16, it says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, and some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" That's another message I would love to give at another time. But this is the part I want to share with you guys this morning. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I commanded of you. And surely I am with you always to the end of this age." Now, you guys have heard that passage, right? It's a great missionary passage, and it tells you, oh, okay, we should go out there and do something about missions, right? So let's go out and win souls for Jesus. We need to get in my car and drive over somewhere and win souls for Jesus wherever we're going. And for many years, my impression with working with YWAM is, how many people can I bring to Jesus? How many people can I go out and convert? And that is a noble thing, and that is a good thing. And many who have the gifting of evangelism, they're out there every day in stores, and they're looking at people. There's a counter in front. You know Jesus? And they start giving tracts and talking to people, right? You know people like that, right? They're just all, their whole life is evangelism. But God began to speak something really, really interesting to me in that passage. And what that is the word discipleship. He said, go and make disciples. Now, I want you guys to understand, I'm not trying to take this out of context, but it didn't say go and make converts. He said go and make disciples. Now, there's a difference between both. You see, for me, I've made converts before. I've gone out in the areas in Jesus' name. Yeah, we pray, and there's wonderful things that take place with that person. There's brokenness. But Jesus said, go and make disciples. Now, when I begin to really, really process that, you go back and think about what Jesus did. After Jesus was baptized and began his ministry, he began to talk to people. He began to develop relationships with people. And he comes across a couple of brothers at the ocean, or at the lake. And Brother Zebedee, why don't you come follow me? Hey, Peter, Andrew, come follow me. Hey, Nathan, I saw you under a tree. Let's go. Hey, Matthew, I saw you with the tax collecting thing. Let's go. Come follow me. Now, during that time process, I don't know if you guys noticed, there wasn't like he didn't give a message and all these guys came forward and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and they became Jesus and then they became disciples. What he did is he chose them. He said, you, my disciple, you, come be with me. Now, it's interesting, Jesus was considered a rabbi of the time, okay? Now, what rabbis do is they go through and they handpick people. They go, that student looks like he's going to be a good student of mine. I'm going to choose that one. They're going to learn underneath me, and they're going to continue in the faith, okay? And so when you see that passage, you think about Paul. Paul was under Gamaliel. Remember that? And it was specifically taught and trained by him. But what Jesus did is he took a bunch of fishermen, a tax collector, okay, and someone who would even later betray him. Do you understand? And he made them his disciples. He said, you are going to come alongside of me. He chose them. He handpicked this group of people. And he began to think about that and really, really dwell on that a little bit. Am I intentional? That's the word I was looking for. Have I been intentional in my discipleship? Jesus was. He was very intentional. You will come with me and you will become fishers of men. Very clear, okay? He had a plan. He had a thought process. He said, we're going to be very intentional here. And none of his disciples knew he had 3 years. He did. He knew what was going on with him, okay? But so he had a very intentional plan that today has rocked our world. That today has changed the way we see our world today. But you see, Many of us think that when we go through evangelism and the process, we just bring people to Jesus, and the first thing that comes to our mind is, let's take them to church. The pastors will disciple them, right? That is many, many people's impressions of what we're supposed to do. We make converts, we bring them to church, and the pastor will disciple them. That's their job, okay? That's what we pay them, right? Well, realizing that, God has called each one of us to disciple, you understand? To be ones who make disciples. We teach them to obey. What? What do we teach them to obey? The word. We teach them to obey who God is. We help them to understand who their Heavenly Father is. So when I started thinking about that, a couple of years ago, we started putting a model together with our YWAM base. And we said to ourselves, what are we doing to bring about this process of discipleship? You see, it's easy for me to offer schools and to offer programs and to offer this and to have that. But is there a reason for it? Do you understand? It's not just another good thing we want to do. Is there an intentional direction that we're going to go with this? So we started off with this idea. And I remember I had this like whiteboard behind my desk. And every time I would get this idea, it was like the first couple of years Becky and I were directing the ministry, I just was putting stuff on the board. You know, you ever did that before? Like sometimes you just got a lot of ideas in your brain, you just know what to do with them. So you just start writing stuff on a board. And people come in and look at me and say, you know, because it's right behind my desk. It's kind of like, you know, what offers do you see, you know, writing behind someone's desk, okay? But that's the where I was at that moment. I needed to see what God was showing our ministry. Do you understand? And it wasn't just Steve. It was the staff in general. It was all of our leadership team. We saw this happening. And what it came down to is we looked at it in three bubbles. We call this Steve's bubble graph, okay? And bubble number one, it was children ages 4 to 14. In bubble number two, it was kids ages 14 to 18. In bubble number three, it was children who were 19 and older. We said to ourselves, okay, what are we going to do to be intentional in our discipleship? So I called it our 15-year plan. Now, many of you guys may look at that and say, I can't even think about next week, okay? Much less think 15 years from now. Well, we don't understand that either. All we know is that we created this 15-year plan so that we start with children who are 4 years old, and our desire is by the time they become 19, they understand God's purposes and direction for their life. That's what we're looking at. It's an intentional plan. But now here's the fun part. Each of these little bubbles have to have plans. Each of these little things that we're doing have to have direction, or what we're doing is just another good work. You understand that? And so we looked at each of these things and said, okay, God, let's begin to develop this program down here with these children. So in this group, we have maybe 50 to 70 kids in this group, okay? So what are we doing to intentionally disciple these young kids so that when they become 14 to 18, we will begin to intentionally disciple them in deeper things of the Lord? Do you understand? And then take them to that place that when they are graduating high school on their own and getting into the world, getting into college, that they know their purpose and direction for life. This is what we think about when we sit and we process youth. Do you understand? There's got to be an intentional plan. Now, each one of us is called to be a discipler. Do you understand that? So besides the fact of my general mission plan, what's my plan? What's Steve Golis' plan for those who are around him? Do you have a plan for those who are around you? Do you see people who you know need just some love, need some caring, and you can call them out to be your disciples? Do you understand? Now, I had a gentleman, was just a couple of, this is really interesting. About a year ago, we were processing a lot of this together. But he's an interesting character. His name is Carlos Pepio, okay? And he is a heavy metal singer. He's a Christian, goes to church, but he's a heavy metal singer. Now, sometimes that is an associate. You think of heavy metal, you think of, like, you know, Metallica or anything like that, and it just doesn't spring in your mind. How can you associate the two things together? But his ministry is in heavy metal music to the heavy metal kid. He's entering into a sphere, into an area in the world that nobody has gone to evangelize, okay? So he came in to me, he said, is it okay for me, he said, that I should have non-Christians in my Christian band. Now, initially, you know what I'm saying? If you're talking about that, your initial thought is, no, that doesn't sound right. Make sure they're Christians first before you do that. That was my initial thought, right? But my mouth said, yeah, sounds great. And I went back afterwards and said, God, why did you make my mouth say that? And I began to process that. Jesus did the same thing with fishermen. He said, you come with me. Carlos Papio said to these heavy metal guys, you come with me, and I will make you fishers of men. See, the issue wasn't the fact that they were believers. The issues were they were seeker-friendly, that they were open, you understand, to hear. And so when I started thinking about that, how many people surround me every day that I can disciple? How many people surround me? Because it's easy for me to say, well, my mission, my job, okay, puts me in that position where I do that. But I was talking with a few people here in Santa Rosa, and I was mentioning that they are pastors of their businesses. And they had to think about that for a moment. But it's true. If you're a boss and you're in charge of a particular group of people, you are now their pastor. Because you take care of their physical needs financially, okay? And if you are actually their boss, there's a respect, there is an authority you have to speak into their life. Do you understand? So every business that has a group of people, you're a pastor. I just want to share that with you right now, okay? Because you are pastoring people. Now, how you choose to be a pastor in your business is something before you and God. Each person has an ability to influence a group of people. Those are called disciples. And disciples come in many shapes and sizes. They can be older, they can be younger, they could be peers. It doesn't matter. God has put those people in your space. And what you choose to do each day determines how you're discipling this young person. Do you understand? Or this older person. Because they're watching you every single day. If you're in work, they watch what you're doing. They process. If you are with them, they process. It's all a process. Jesus spent 3 years with his disciples. 3 years. And during that time period, he left enough stories and testimonies that they filled the first four books of the New Testament, right? Yeah, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all full of stories, accounts, and testimonies that disciples have being with Jesus. How about those people who are around you? Will they write a book about you? Will they write about the testimonies and the things that happened in your life that blessed them and said, wow, this is something that I can take and I can use to better my life? I began to really, really think about this, guys. You understand? I'm in a position in our base to influence young people. But you have to see, the thing is, it can become my job, or it could really, really become something that God has burdened in my heart, that these young people are my disciples. These people who are coming alongside of us in the ministry we're doing in Guatemala are my disciples. And when you take it from that perspective, they become like your children. Do you understand? They're your kids. And if they're your kids, you're going to be bending over backwards to make sure and sacrificing to make sure your kids are taken care of. I don't think there's one parent in this room who hasn't sacrificed for their kids, who hasn't said, you know what? I want this, but I'm not going to have it because my kid needs this. I want to go there, but I'm not going to go there because my kid needs me. Do you understand? When we have children, we sacrifice. We give everything we have so that that child will get the best from us. Do you understand? And as a result, our children tell testimonies to their friends. And they say, wow, my mom and dad were so cool. They took me there. And I remember that trip they took me. And my dad said this to me. And my mom said this to me. And that encouraged me. And that's where I am today. That is what we're talking about when we're talking about discipleship. That we put ourselves into positions in people's lives where they see us who we are. We're real people, guys. You understand that. We make mistakes. Jesus was perfect. So he had perfect disciples at the end, right? Okay? But the reality is, for us, we're constantly facing the fact that we need to see Jesus. And we need to constantly be leading others to Jesus. And the reality is, where we are and who we are influences the circle of people who we are around with, okay? So if I'm in this area over here and people are drawn around me, do you understand? Those are my disciples. And again, as I mentioned, disciples can come in many ages. What's been wonderful for Becky and me, besides the mission kids that we've been working with, is that we've had various families that God has brought into our home. We have about 4 or 5 different children in one way or another that come in through there with their parents. And then Becky and I can personally minister to these people. And it's not as if I sit there and think, okay, you know, No, it's really, there's some even intentional things that Becky and I do to begin to work on these particular children with their families. Very intentional things that we say, you know what? We need to do this for them. We need this for them. Let's do this for them now. There's a real strong, intentional focus on what we're doing. But you see, the thing is, it's been something that's been growing in my heart over the last couple of years. Because in our mission, many times we think of, we go out and evangelize. We share Jesus all over the world. That's one of our big focuses. That our goal as a mission is to go into every sphere, to go into everywhere in the planet and bring Jesus. So we have YWAM bases all over the world. Not because we're into this growth movement, but we're into making sure that we reach out and touch every sphere of society until everyone has heard Jesus. One of the big things we have in our mission is we call End Bible Poverty. It's been an initiative that we've had for many years, which is we go and give Bibles to everybody that we can. In my city, we've given out Bibles, approximately 2,500 Bibles to different homes in our area. And I wish I could give more. I want to give more. But many times we're stopped because of finances or whatever. But it doesn't mean we can't stop visiting with people. Do you understand? So much of our mission is about the fact of evangelism. I give you a Bible. I pray for you. I tell you about Jesus. Much of it is what we're doing. But discipleship is where you change a nation. And let me explain that to you so you guys understand. I live in Guatemala. It is basically, they've done statistical surveys talking to people, and it basically the numbers have come out. 1 out of every 3 Guatemalans is a professing evangelical Christian. It's a high number. And there's, it's not untold, and Lisa and Phil and Ken, they all, these guys all know, they, Lisa's come down and Ken, and they've seen these big churches that we go to. Their 20,000 members is not unheard of in a church that's down there. So 1 out of every 3 people profess to be evangelical Christians. The other 2 out of 3 are Catholics. Okay? So in a sense, what you're seeing is 3 out of 3 basically know there's a Jesus. Or have grown up hearing that there is a Jesus. Okay. So ask me, why is there crime and why is there violence in Guatemala? Why? There's many things we have to look at. There's many things. But one of them, and one of the primary things, is discipleship. You see, they grow up under a system of tradition. And so under that system of tradition, under those things that take place, there's no movement of their heart. There's no marking of the Holy Spirit. It's just simply the routine and the rituals that make me go to heaven. Okay? So where is the heart in all of that? So if they could cheat, they'll cheat. If they can steal, they can steal. You understand? Because they are impoverished and they feel they have the right to steal. You understand? Because they're providing for their family. Their family needs help. So I will do what I have to do to help them. But you have the spirit. 3 out of 3 people who know, okay, there's a God. And yet, in a nation of violence, why is it that way? And it all goes back to discipleship. All it takes is someone to come in and say, you, fisher of men, come with me. You, Nathan, under a tree, come with me. You, Matthew, come with me. Come be a fisher of men. Let's go together. Let's do it. Let's get it done. In Sonoma County, guys, I'm going to share something with you really, really big. If each of you really took your role as disciplers of people, you'll make an instant impact in Sonoma County, in your jobs, in the market, and wherever you go, because your mindset and the way you're thinking about is, you're my disciple, you're someone I want to care for, you're someone I want to call into with me to come alongside of me in my life. You see, we all did that. See, it's good that we are in the presence of Jesus. I love to come to church on Sunday mornings and just sit and worship and be in the presence of Jesus. Go home and put on my music and just be in the presence of Jesus. It's good, right? It's really good. And that's what gives us the strength we need. But God has called us to be in the marketplace as well. He's called us to be just like Jesus. Jesus went into the marketplace. He went down to the Sea of Galilee and he called people. And he said, come. Come be with me. Let's walk this journey together. And he did. He walked a journey with a group of people. Now there were 12 people who were specifically mentioned, but there were another additional 120 people that just came along for the ride. You understand? That's what happened. See, those 12 got influenced, but the others, they wanted to stick around. That's influence. That wherever Jesus would go, 120 people would be tracking him behind him. That's church, right? That's church. Church is where the body meets together and is nourished and fed and discipled and mentored and loved and cared for. You know, that's what Jesus did. But Jesus didn't need a building. He just went from here to there. And in that process, he healed people. And that's what Scripture says. He went into an area, and some places it was casting out demons. It was interesting, you know, I was reading the passage over again in Matthew about him going into Capernaum. It was interesting that he was there, and it was like almost every other passage of the verse was talking about him casting out demons and cast out demons and cast out demons. He was healing, but he was casting out demons. Must have been a lot of demons in Capernaum. But Jesus, being who he was, saw that. And basically, he cast out the demons in that area. That needed to happen there. And then he got up and moved. They didn't stay in the same area and have a demon ministry, okay? They moved. And they went somewhere else. They went where the Father told him to go. That's discipleship, guys. Discipleship is, I'm getting up now. Okay, you guys coming? We're going to go. We got another place we got to go to. There's another thing we need to do. There's other stuff, other people that need to be reached. You understand? Discipleship is not about nice little classes in church. It's one-on-one relationship. I call it chicken soup or even fried chicken ministry. You understand what I'm talking about? Is when you call somebody over and say, hey, let's have some fried chicken together. And they show up and nothing smells better than fried chicken, right? And you sit down and you're eating together and there's fellowship and there's breaking of bread and there's breaking of lives. And people are just open and transparent. But that's what discipleship's all about. And we do it each day. But sometimes we don't realize it. We try to spiritualize it. No, it's got to be done in the church, or it's got to be done in a certain course that we put together. And you know, that's a good intentional way to do things. You understand, guys? But it really comes down to breaking bread. And it talked about that in Acts. They met at the temple square, and then what they do? They went and broke bread in each other's homes. And that's where Jesus, poof, that's where the metal meets the road. That's where discipleship takes place. That's where the mentoring takes place. Is when we can do that. Now, I have the joy and privilege of walking out in Guatemala City, that relationship with young people who have a heart for God. What I love about my job, what I really, really love, is that these people have sacrificially committed their life to love Jesus. That's it. When they come to our center and they say to us, we want to come on staff, my first question is, why? And I say it in a nice way. I mean, it's wonderful. I'm not a very good recruiter, by the way, guys. I'm sorry to tell you that. I am not a really good recruiter. Otherwise, I would have probably a lot more staff. But the reality is that why do you want to come here? Do you know what this is going to mean by you being here with us? A, you're not going to get a paycheck. Okay? B, you don't know where your next meal is going to come from. You okay with that? This is where we're at. You ain't getting a paycheck and you don't know where your next meal is coming from. So if you're okay with that, then let's get started. And so what I see, and I remember one particular girl, she just really touched my heart. Because they come and they want, they can see like the glorious things, the romantic part of missions. You know that? You ever see that when you guys think about missions? Oh, all these opportunities to go and just fellowship and bring, oh, that's so wonderful. And you go and it's, you spend a week and, oh, it was so great. I just saw all this stuff. But you're not there day to day. You're not there day to day. You're not there seeing how people are living together in community. And I remember this one gal. She had just done her DTS with us. She just finished her discipleship training school course. And she, about 2 months later, she had been processing all this time. She comes back and she says, I want to come on staff. And I said, why? And most times when they share with me, it's, well, I really like the ministries here. I like to get myself involved. And I said, great, good. She said to me, I just want to be deeper in love with Jesus. And I said, well, can't you do that at home? She goes, yeah, but the presence of Jesus is so thick here. I just want more of it. And that was humbling for a moment. You know what I'm saying? That's humbling. Okay, God, your presence is so thick, and sometimes I don't feel it. What's wrong with me? But she said, all I want is to be in the presence of Jesus. So that's what she did. She spent an entire year just being in the presence of Jesus. We put her in the hospitality department. She just worked. She just did what she needed to do. Teams would come in. She'd make herself available. Kitchen needed to have some food. She'd go in and help cook. She just made herself available. Every day we had devotionals. There was worship. There was intercession. There was seeking God on a daily basis. And you could just see her like a seed, you know what I'm saying? Just poof, bursting and beginning to grow that branch. And then the flower comes. And you just see it right there with her. This young lady, so you guys have an understanding, basically she had lived a very, very rough life. Abandoned by her father. Entered into aspects of sexual sins and so forth. Really rough girl. Rough on the edges. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever talked to somebody like that? They're really rough on the edges. And watching the transformation take place from the DTS school that we had to a year after her being on staff with us. And you would never know it was the same girl. You'd never know. But you see, the discipleship took place on a daily basis with us. We get up in the morning and we bring Jesus into the home. We have to. Daily, or we can't make it. And she's got to trust that Jesus is going to provide for her needs. I had a really interesting conversation with the Reckins at their home. John and Hank said to me, he said, hey, what do you need, Steve? I said, I have got my needs covered. Thank you, Lord. My needs are covered all the time. I got lots of wants, but my needs are covered. I am never in need. I'm always in want. But the reality is God covers my needs. And I always tell that to my staff. You guys, your needs are being met. And then sometimes he gives you those wants. And you are blessed. And they, yeah, God's there. God's meeting my needs. God's taking care of me. And that's part of the discipleship process. Is that full on, yeah, God's with me. God is with me where I'm here or whether I am there. He is with me in much and he's with me in nothing. He's with me in all times. And the greatest thing I could leave my young people is that knowledge and that desire and that desire to know him more intimately. More of you, God. More of you. Now, I want to do is just take a moment right now, and I want to show you a video from our ministry. One of the kids, we have four young people, by the way, that God has recently brought to our ministry that have said to me, right in my face, God has told me to be here 4 years with you. Ever see that before? But I want to show you what's happening with these guys, okay? Go ahead. You're going to see a little bit of Guatemala to begin with, okay? Now, the joy of that video, guys, it was put together by one of my disciples. This young man has a talent for putting videos together, creating media, forms of ways of doing things. He has a huge heart for Guatemala, and he said something to me that super humbled me. This was recent. He said, I want to stay a long time in missions, and this is why he gave me a 4-year commitment. I want to stay a long time in missions because I've seen what you've done. And I said, what do you mean? He says, well, there's this boy here, his name is Danny, and his other brother's name is Gustavo, and I heard you started working with them when they were 5 or 6 years old, and now they're a part of what we're doing in our mission here. He goes, I want that to happen. I want to see young people that I begin to raise up, mentor, and disciple, begin to disciple and mentor other people. That's, wow. That hit me. You understand? That's what God has called us to do. To be disciples. Disciple. Because in the end, they're going to get it and they're going to be disciples. And they're going to disciple a nation. And so many, many times when I think of this mandate that God has given me to disciple, it's not a little thing, guys. I know what God's called me to do, and it takes time. And what happens is fruit comes with time. Just like any tree you plant, don't expect it to come out the first year. But your good stuff comes out 5, 6, 7 years later. Do you understand? Just like a fruit tree. I think God puts those little physical things to help us. And these people, the staff that I'm working along, the disciples, what they do is they walk every day in trust. And they say, God, we don't have, but we know that you will take care of our needs. And that's what we look at. Thank you guys for the time I've had this morning with you.
Awesome, Steve. Thank you. That's really the core of their relationship, is to raise up people to disciple the nation. We wanted to share about another missionary that we've linked up with through the years, at least a decade. And we're going to hand out their prayer card. Lisa's going to share a little bit about them.
Thanks so much, Steve. He's already good. All right, so Phil's going to hand out a prayer card about David and Julia Von Cannon. And they are also on staff with YWAM. They're in Antigua, Guatemala, which Antigua is the old capital of Guatemala, and it's a much smaller city, and it's surrounded, it's near the volcanoes, and it's surrounded by a lot of small indigenous communities. It's about 45 minutes drive from Guatemala City. And David Von Cannon is right now, he's in Texas, he's from Texas, and his dad had a stroke the beginning of October. And so David is there, and his family's going to join him here in a couple of weeks. But he's there, and so he had thought about trying to come here, depending on how his dad was doing, to be here today, but wasn't able to do that. So we have a video, Steve's working on getting it up right now, of him just greeting you guys as a leadership team. Lou and Susan and Ken and Christina and Phil and I felt like the Lord was saying to expand our mission support in Guatemala and add David and Julie and their ministry in Antigua. And so we're going to give you guys a chance to partner with us in doing that as well. So when you're ready, you can start that. And I'll keep going until that starts. So just whenever it's ready, I'm interruptible. But David is from Texas, like I said. Julie is from from Guatemala, and David, he's going to share in the video some of what he's really passionate about. But they are leading the discipleship training schools in Antigua. And at the YWAM base there, they met in 2003 and were married in 2005. And they've been on staff since then together for a little. Oh, he's ready.
Grace family, it is such an honor to be able to greet you guys.
This is David.
Good morning, Grace family. It is such an honor to be able to greet you guys this morning. I really wish that I could be there with my family right now on this very special Sunday. But hey, at least we have the wonders of technology, and that we can record a video and just send it to you. And so just to introduce myself, my name is David Von Cannon, and my wife Julie and I serve together with our three children, William, Nathaniel, and Ariella, in Antigua, Guatemala. We've been working with Youth of the Mission there, and specifically working in the discipleship training schools, raising up young people. And so two of the things that we're really passionate about is, one, we're passionate about young people who are broken, living on the streets, just loving them and restoring them with the Father's love. But we're also really passionate about raising up Daniels, young men and women who can go into the professional world, to whatever area of society that God has called them to, and make a kingdom impact and transform the culture from within the place that they're working in, or wherever it is that they God has sent them. And so that is really one of our biggest passions right now. We've really been inspired a lot by Daniel and Joseph, who are young men who went into either prisons or went into the government, and just by being who they were, by understanding who they were in Jesus, and understanding or seeing the world through God's eyes, and seeing and even prison leaders through God's eyes, that they were able to make a kingdom impact that impacted an entire nation, that brought, you know, pagan kings to their knees worshiping God. And that is something that we've been really passionate about. We look at society today and we see things like the government, we see things like Hollywood, the media, arts and entertainment, and the education, family, you know, even within the church, we see how the enemy has really been able to plant his roots into these areas. And as a result, he's been discipling the nations over these last 20, 30 years. And so we're passionate about taking those things back. We're passionate about sending people out into those areas like Daniel was, and just letting them impact an atmosphere that will eventually impact the nation. And so that is what we're really passionate about. And we're just really thankful to have you guys partnering along with us in this amazing ministry that God has given us. And so thank you. Thank you so much for just your prayers. Thank you so much for your support. And we're really sorry we can't be there. I'm sure that Ken and Lisa have explained our situation a little bit that we're in right now. But we really look forward to maybe being able to see you guys next year. Hey, if you guys want to come to Guatemala, we would love to meet with you. And so we just bless you guys in the name of Jesus and just love you. And have an amazing Sunday and an amazing week in Jesus' name.
All right. So that's David Von Cannon. That's really his heart, is to make an impact. And when Michelle and Lenora and Ken and I went this past February, that was the first time that we met him. Ken has known him for years, but we joined in just the second, I think, the DTS, the group of students from, there was Guatemalan students, a couple of students from other countries in Central America, as well as some students from the U.S. and from Europe. They had just been together for about 2.5 weeks when we met them, and you could already see the influence that David and Julie had in their lives, and just the way that they had bonded with them, and they were impacting their lives, and not just in the midst of growing in their relationships with God, but also just encountering both the outreach that they were doing as a DTS team, but also looking at the events in their lives. And so we're going to, I'm going to skip the slides today, Steve, and next week I'm going to share a little bit more about the specifics of David's ministry in Guatemala, and some of the prayer needs that they have, and how what it's going to look like for us to partner with them. And next week we'll also look at, we'll review Steve and Becky's ministry in Guatemala City for those who weren't here today. But I'm going to turn it over to Ken, and we're going to look at the finances, how we can support them.
So if I could get some help handing out these pledge cards. There's a pledge card for each one. And you remember the guy that saved up, or he had the barns? He said, "Oh, look, I've got my 401k barn here. I don't have to worry about retirement. I'm all set." And God said, "What have you? This day, your soul is required of you." In another place, he said, "We can actually take our money, and when we give it like this, when we sow into ministries like this, it gets transferred into heavenly monetary stuff." So that's what we're going to do. That's what I'm asking you to do. I'm giving you the opportunity to sow into amazing ministries that are boots on the ground. There's all the money you give goes to them. It goes right into these ministries. So anything you can give. Give a dollar. My gosh. It's seed. You're sowing seed. I want to see you get a harvest. So if you don't sow seed, you don't get a harvest. Even if it's a dollar, pledge something. And then you, let's see, Lisa, they turn in the bottom part. So ponder that. If you can make a decision today, what do you want to give? And then we're going to add it up. Our goal for Steve and Becky is 300 a month, that we would pledge 300 a month all of us together, you know, little by little. And $200 for David and Julie. And while you're pondering that, I'll tell you a little bit of a story about David and Julie. He actually took a break from YWAM, or he stepped out of that ministry for a few years and started a ministry to street kids in Guatemala City, like the huffers, you know, they huff solvent to get high. And they had this coffee shop. He turned it over to someone that he raised up because the Lord is telling him to go get back into the DTS thing and start raising up Daniels. But they had amazing results of getting those kids plugged into school. And they had a coffee shop. They would come to the coffee shop every day. It was almost like their Jesus family was the coffee shop that David and Julie remodeled this storefront, terrible thing. But anyway, into a coffee shop where they would come and almost every day. So it gave them a place of accountability to stay in school. And some of those kids are graduating now from high school in that ministry. So it was an amazing, and now he's turned over to somebody else, like I said. He's like a Jesus pirate. He'll do anything. Like on the, you should see him, like when you're ministering to these huffers or kids on the street, the stuff, the stories, the things he and Julie do, it's awesome. So you're sowing into that. So if you could fill that out, and then do we hand them to the aisles or those?
If you know that you want to pledge something to either couple today, I'll collect them. Otherwise, if you want to take it and think about it and bring it next week, we can do that, and we'll have extras to hand out next week. And then at the end of next week, we'll collect them. We're going to have Adam Peacock is going to be sharing next week about a new ministry that he is, that God has put on his heart within the city of Santa Rosa. So we want to sow into ministries that are very local to us, like Bridges, which is the Pregnancy Counseling Center, the Redwood Gospel Mission, Support Crossing the Jordan, some of the ministries that are here in our city, as well as support some of the regional things that are happening. And Adam Peacock is going to be sharing some about that next week. And then also sow into international ministries, which right now for Grace looks like Guatemala, and because that's where we have connections. And we're going to see that grow in the future. To impacting other nations as well. And so this is a two-week emphasis on missions, so we're going to review these two ministries next week and then also talk about City Bridge, which is what Adam Peacock is going to share about. And so if you know that you want to pledge, go ahead and hold your card up, and Phil or I will come and get it. And then at the end of next week after Adam shares, we're going to just give the total for the two ministries that we're asking you to sow into, the Von Cannons and the Golas. We'll give the totals for what people have pledged and just celebrate that next week. So that's kind of where we're going. Are there questions, specific questions, before we close this service? Okay. Hold your things up if you want us to collect them.